In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Who is screwing things up for Mr. Adams trying to get around in the afternoon?
Man, I tell you what, like, I apologize.
It's not on you.
But it's, you don't necessarily expect, a mile-long backed up line of traffic on Broadway on a Monday.
Yeah. It can be bad out there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, it's when you start noticing things going slowly, like right around the interstate, you're like, "Huh, I wonder what's going on." And then it's like, maybe I'll sneak around. And then you come out and you see just how far the line goes. You're just like, okay. So I definitely secret squirreled my way around to try to get here. At one point, I was driving through the parking lot of Bangor High School. And I was like, should I just get out and run? Just
come across the field?
Hurtling across the field. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably wind up either getting killed by a groundhog or, wind up with Lyme disease, but
there's bees out there too.
No, there's not bees out
there. Oh yeah, we have beehives out by the tower.
Fantastic.
Tower bees.
Of course.
Between the ticks, groundhogs, and bees, it's a gauntlet getting from the parking lot to here.
I'm guessing I probably made the right choice because I did get here eventually.
Right, I think this was done intentionally. It's the modern version of a moat. Wow. Well, we're glad you made it. We appreciate the effort. Other than that, how's your day been?
Good. Good. No, we had a lovely weekend. Pretty low key. Visited some friends. Basically, stayed in. With the exception of visiting the farmer's market, which we're big fans of the farmer's market. Not as big as Stella. Stella loves the farmer's market more than just about anything. Yeah.
The people?
I don't know what it is. I think she likes just getting the chance to get out of the house.
Well, sure.
Go on a little adventure and then, but yeah, for whatever reason, I think the sights, the smells, like there's so much going on.
And is she like, who won't be at the farmer's market? Those cats.
Stupid cats. I don't know how much time we have. Have I told you about the fact that the cats have taken to, we're not certain, but we think the cats are trapping the dog?
Really?
Yeah.
Ganging up on poor Stella?
Well, it doesn't happen every day, but we will on occasion, maybe once a week or so, we'll come home and the cats are sitting in the kitchen. But Stella's nowhere to be found. She usually comes down and greets us at the door. We come in the back door. And we're like, the first time it's like, where's Stella? And then you hear desperate barking from upstairs. And we go upstairs and, we have set up a baby gate to establish separation, like zones.
Yeah.
The cats can come and go cause there's a little door in the bottom. But we leave it latched when we leave. And then every once in a while we'll come home and Stella will be on the other side of it. And we have no idea how she's getting there.
Wow.
Like it's like, cause it's a pretty high gate and there's no real room for a run up. So unless she's like springing straight up into the air and over, which is not really her style, I'm not entirely sure what's happening.
Wow.
And so we've basically come to the conclusion that the cats lure her up there with the promise of wet cat food, which she cannot resist. And then they lock the door behind her and have their way with the rest of the house.
Laugh their evil little cat laughs.
Right. And we've basically decided, okay, we're gonna get a camera and we're gonna set it up. And that of course means that it will never happen again.
Of course.
But it's just one of those things where every once in a while like the dog doesn't come downstairs. We're like, oh well, let's go up and see
the cats again.
And there she is,
wow,
like furious on the other side of the gate. It's pretty hilarious, honestly. Because Stella's, she's fine. Like she's just mad. And you don't know how long she's been in there.
Right.
So, so that's, we had one of those, not too long ago. That's always entertaining.
Wow.
But yeah, no, it's a pretty low key weekend, all things considered.
Well,
we had a good one.
Those are nice to have every once in a while.
Yes, sir.
What have you seen for movies in the last week or so?
I did get to see a couple. I saw a very interesting documentary on Hulu called The Jewel Thief.
Mm.
That's pretty good. Deceptively titled a little, but quite good. And then, of course, I saw I went to see Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part 1, because you got to give the whole title at least once.
Well, yes, so, of course.
Seventh, count them, seven installments in the Mission Impossible franchise. And this is Part 1 because there was too much mission for one movie. But yeah, so what do you want to do? I figure maybe we'll talk about the documentary real quick, and then delve into the world of Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible.
Just please tell me. Just tell me there's going to be some running,
Rich. Come on, like okay. That's right. it's what our guy does.
All right,
he's born to do it.
Okay,
but yeah, so The Jewel Thief. It's a documentary currently screening on Hulu, and kind of a fascinating story. It's basically about this guy, this Canadian dude, who just through sheer patience, perseverance, and force of will, became one of the most notorious thieves in Canadian history.
Hmm.
Started off as a kid, very like sort of, you know, low end stuff like shoplifting and that sort of thing, like stealing stuff from Radio Shack and all that. And then as he got older, graduated to larger and larger schemes until finally, like, dude is robbing banks, and like he's doing it in this like really like meticulous and well thought out way, like where you know, it was basically this spree of bank robberies that the authorities, the media, everyone was convinced was like this massive operation because of how like well planned it was. And it was basically just this dude and like a couple of his Yahoo buddies. But, you know, he'd come up with these elaborate ways to like, you know, install like surveillance devices in bank branches as they're being built. So he has the stuff in before like all the other stuff. And so he's able to just like figure out ways to sneak in undetected, like, and then just like, you know, walks off with $500,000, $750,000 dollars out of the ATMs. This guy, his name was Gerald Daniel Blanchard was the guy's name. And this was like happening mostly in the early aughts. For extended stretches, like was just mystifying police departments all over Canada. The film's title, The Jewel Thief, comes from when he was on a trip overseas with his then wife and her family. They were in Austria, and he stole something it's called the CC Star. And it's this like very famous in Austria, very famous decorative like jewel that was that adorned the hair of like one of the like a, of, a, of an Austrian royal back in the day. There are only like a handful known to still exist. And he basically like you know the scene in Indiana Jones where he like swaps the idol with the bag of sand. Yeah. Like he basically swapped out like a replica from the gift shop.
Wow.
Into the spot and somehow didn't get caught. And so that's where the title comes from. That's, near as I can tell, the only jewel he actually thieved.
Hmm.
But it's fascinating because it's like all these interviews with like his mom and like a number of different like law enforcement personnel that were engaged in the case, both like ones that knew him when he was just a teenager, right on up through. And then the big thing is he himself is a major part of the documentary. Like, we get a lot of stuff from him, and he is he's the easiest way to describe him is like he's a charismatic dork. Like, he's a wicked nerdy dude, super Canadian, but he's also very much enamored of the spotlight. And so he really gets off on like basically telling everyone how he did it, which apparently was he basically did a media tour like in the lead up to his trial, basically like going on like giving interviews, going on TV, basically like, this is how I did it. And, you know, and unsurprisingly wound up spending time in jail. Because, you know, it's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's tough to get off when you're telling everyone that you did it. But yeah, and it's so you just, it's this really weird character study, fascinating, and it's just like the idea of this one guy just deciding when he was like, you know, 15 years old, he's like, you know what I'm gonna do? Steal stuff. and then just doing it and like really like being wildly successful at it, even as you know, he would occasionally make these almost these weird unforced errors that almost seem deliberate, like wanting to like basically wanting to like make sure people knew who he was, kind of thing. And so yeah, so really really fun watch. Like it's pretty short, like an hour and a half. Some fascinating characters. And yeah, if you're a true crime like aficionado or anything, like this is it's one of those ones where like nobody gets hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a, you know, it's, I mean, it's not a victimless crime, but you know, it's, you know, there are certain people who might be okay with the idea of, you know, banks getting theirs. if you dig that sort of stuff, you should really check it out. The Jewel Thief, currently streaming on Hulu.
All right. Awesome. Alan Adams talking movies with us here on Downtown. You know, we don't have many movie stars left. Harrison Ford, obviously, at that upper end is still one of them. But man, there aren't many. And is there anybody better at playing that role than Tom Cruise?
I don't think so. I really don't. And that's, I think that's been true for like a generation at this point, you know, because, man, there's nothing that'll unsettle you. And it happens every time one of these movies comes out. But it's like, someone will remind you how old Tom Cruise is and you're just like, oh, yikes.
Yeah.
'Cause like he's 61 years old.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. And he's still doing it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you alluded to the running. There's running. There's a lot of running in this movie. Look, I'll dispense with the vagaries of the plot because it doesn't matter. Nobody cares what this movie's about. The basic gist is our big bad this time around is the world ending whatever MacGuffin. This time around is a self-aware algorithm known only as the Entity. There's a key that breaks into two parts for plot reasons. And then, you know, and Tom Cruise and his Mission Impossible team have to figure out how to get the keys and unite them and then find the Entity and destroy it. Because whatever individual or organization has control of the Entity, well, Rich, they will have control of the world.
Here, you can't have that.
Yeah. And then the usual globetrotting shenanigans with a star-studded cast. We have some old favorites. We have some new introductions and all kinds of crazy action sequences and fight scenes and just, you know, the stuff that you go to see a Mission Impossible movie for. Like, you know, no one, you know, the plot is basically connective tissue to get you from set piece to set piece. And here's the thing. Tom Cruise knows that's what we're doing, you know, and Christopher McQuarrie, who directed the film and co-wrote the script, he knows too.
Yeah.
Like they're very aware of the types of movies that these are supposed to be. And because of that, like they're not trying to do anything more than create a big popcorn munching action blockbuster meant specifically to be seen in the movie theater. And they're really good at it.
Yeah, they're all wildly entertaining.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, you know, it's really fun to sort of, you know, to watch Tom Cruise be a movie star. Because again, like you can probably count on one hand how many of those we have these days. You know, we're dealing with the Marvel industrial complex at this point. So like, and those movies aren't about the individual actors. They're not.
No.
You know, then, you know, it doesn't really matter who's wearing the costumes. Like it's a Johnny Bravo situation. Like you just, you hire someone who fits the costume, send them out there and let them go. And that's fine. I love them, the MCU, whatever. But for this type of movie, I'm not ready to call what Tom Cruise is doing in these movies acting per se, because it's very much like he's not inhabiting another character.
Like, well, I feel like his life is the acting role.
Right.
He's playing Tom Cruise, which I suspect is a creation of his invention.
I mean, it has to be, you know, like, you know, and we, you know, and we say this, and the reality is, like, as weird as he comes off, you know, his personal beliefs, his personal relationships, it's all very strange. But the reality is, so many of the people who work with him rave about the experience. Mm. And again, like, you know, we not to get too far into the weeds. It's like where's Shelley Miskovich? Like, you know, like there are you know, it's the Scientologists out there. They you know, you don't want to cross Xenu.
No, oh gosh, no, no.
You know, because then they're just going to overload your thetans, and God only knows what's going to happen. but like separating art from artist, which is easier to do in Tom Cruise's case than it is in some others, simply because he's deeply weird and on a personal level, but not necessarily as overtly hurtful to others. So it's just like, oh yeah, it's Tom out there doing the stuff that he likes to do, including and the joke that I've been making since I watched this movie, the big stunt, it's no secret, like they've been promoting it like wildly, is when he drives a motorcycle off a mountain and then parachutes down onto a train. Here's the thing. Tom Cruise really jumped a motorcycle off a mountain.
Yeah.
Like, he actually did that to the point where there's actually, it's a very brief moment, but like they literally filmed him while he was falling and he delivers a line.
Yeah.
Like while he's like in free fall, again, off a mountain.
And did I read somewhere, and I don't know if it was just for this movie or if it's his standard operating procedure, that he shoots those sequences at the end, so if he dies, they've still got the movie in the can.
Now that's the thing, and it's fascinating because this really sort of leads into my next point, which is Tom Cruise is going to die on a movie set. Like, that is almost certain to happen because he keeps pushing.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, you know, whether he's climbing the Burj Khalifa or he's
in space.
Yeah. You know, he's strapped to the side of an airplane that's taking off, or yeah, again, motorcycle jumping off the side of a mountain. Like, he's doing all these things because, again, he's clearly very desperate for our approval and is willing to do anything to get it. So yes, I firmly believe that he is going to die on a movie set. I also firmly believe that that death is going to make the final cut of whatever movie it is. I would not be shocked.
It's going to be in a contract somewhere, right?
To hear that it is written into his contract.
Yeah.
That, because like, if you're like just listening to him talk about movies, you're like, there is nothing he would love more than for that to be how he goes out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, he is just so enamored of the art form, you know, and you know, you can call it, you know, selfish or whatever, but you know, the argument has been made, and I think it's a viable one, that with particularly Top Gun Maverick, like he kind of kept the movie theater business from collapsing entirely.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's still on the way. You know, it's still struggling, and you know, it's certainly not out of the woods. But those big blockbusters are coming back, and a lot of that is thanks to people like Tom Cruise sort of evangelizing the value of the cinematic experience. And I think he's not wrong. I mean, the truth is, watching a movie like this on the big screen, it's different, and it's a superior experience.
Mm.
And you know, we've talked about Cruise, but like a lot of the regulars are back. Like, Simon Pegg is back. Ving Rhames is back. Ving Rhames, who I have to believe basically like gets up every morning and gives a shout out to the man upstairs for being involved in the first Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
Because, man, like, he's like, I don't know that he's doing anything else. But I mean, you know, but good on him, you know? And it's like, but you know, when guys stick around for that long, they must be pleasant to work with and all that. But, right. but then it's like, but you know, folks like, oh, Vanessa Kirby is back, for this. And Rebecca Ferguson is back. We get some new ones. Hayley Atwell, is in this, Pom Clemente, who's very good in this. Carrie Elwes shows up as one of the standard government folks who you know has to disavow Ethan Hunt or whatever. Got Shea Whigham as part of a team trying to track him down. It's funny, I mentioned the disavowal thing. I always make a joke. It's like, you know, at a certain point, maybe instead of just immediately disavowing Ethan Hunt, at this point, maybe give him the benefit of the doubt,
right,
because
really.
it seems like he's always right yeah. about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a scene in the film where one of the sort of new players is like, maybe he has a good reason for doing this. Like, are we sure we want to do like? And it's really very funny and self-aware in a way that these movies always aren't always, because again, Tom Cruise takes what he does very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are a few comedic beats scattered throughout
that
we don't necessarily see in these very often. And I'm not sure if that's springing from, Cruise evolving as in terms of like how the franchise should be received, or it's the people involved who give him the opportunity to sort of let that side, come out. Maybe it's just like, you know, it's a two-part movie that's going to be like 5 hours when it's all told, so you gotta fill some time. Like,
sure.
I don't know, but yeah, there's a lot of really fun stuff, and it's a fun movie. And I know I haven't said much about what it's about, because here's the thing, it's not really about much.
No.
If you've seen one, you've seen them all. Like, it's Tom Cruise is the good guy. He's got his group of good guy buddies. Everybody else is a bad guy, and he's got to do something, or else the world's going to end in some horrifying way. And that's pretty much it. And, he's going to cling to something or get thrown off something or fight something or drive something that's going to be, jaw dropping. And you're going to be like, I've never seen anything like that. And it's like, oh yeah. And, by the way, in this world filled with CGI, like, he's actually doing that stuff. And, say what you will about the guy, and there's plenty to say. He's very, very good at what he mm-hmm. does.
And bankable. Who else is bankable?
Well, and that's like, it's kind of astonishing to think about, because, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there were, two dozen, like A-list, like capital M, capital S movie stars yeah. out there. Like, people who could, quote unquote, open a movie. And now, like, who is it? Mm. Cruise and
that's it.
Like, who?
And you think, as great as Tom Hanks has been, his rise, and then it's not a fall, but he's not the dependable star he used to be, and all that coming in the middle of Cruise. If you go back to like Risky Business,
yeah, and that's but that's it. Like, he's like. He was massive in the 80s, and the fact that he was a huge star in 1985
yeah.
and he's a huge star in 2023. Like, there's just nobody else.
No.
There's nobody else who compares, certainly in his generation and a subsequent generation. One could argue that in terms of sheer like longevity as a movie star, like, he might be the top of the list. Really? Like, who else has had like such a lengthy career and maintained that sort of that top end of because obviously there are plenty of actors who've had lengthy careers, but at some point, they sort of fade a little. Their star loses a little bit of its shine.
Right.
Not because of any dearth of talent. It's just like time waits for no one, except apparently Tom Cruise.
I look forward to seeing it.
It's real fun, man. It's a really good time.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Good luck getting home.
Thank you. I don't know. Turning left out of here is going to be a nightmare.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. And keep your eyes on those cats.
Oh, my God. Untrustworthy. Adorable, but untrustworthy.
Alan Adams with us. Pass the popcorn.